If you have your Bibles this morning, we are in Jonah chapter 1, one of the more famous stories in the Bible. If you're using a pew Bible, that's on page 943. We'll be reading the first 8 verses in the book of Jonah. Jonah 1, 1 through 8. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word in the reading of it. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were on the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people art thou? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, as we look into a story that we're all familiar with, that we would see some things that would apply to our own life as we begin the start of a new year. I pray that 2017 will be the best year Cornerstone has ever seen, but that will only take place if every one of us are being used for the purpose that you put us here for. Help us to accomplish that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark, Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath. Those are all stories that we all grew up with if you grew up in a Christian home or if you were raised in church. And Jonah and the whale is one of those great stories of incredible things. And Jonah gets called by God with an assignment to do, and he decides that's not really in his schedule and he's not interested. Schofield writes, the man himself was a bigoted Jew, unwilling to testify to a Gentile city and angry that God had spared it. So obviously he had his issues. But let's say some things about Jonah right from the start. Jonah was God's man. Jonah was God's man. Say that with me. Jonah was God's man. He knew God. He had heard God's call. He had heard the voice of God. He had trusted God, Old Testament, part of the law. He knew to obey the Lord. He knew the importance of the shedding of blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He had probably been involved in sacrifices himself and seen animals killed and the blood shed to cover his sins. He knew the importance of all of that, and he knew that those outside of that framework of having your sins covered was going to die and be under the judgment of God. He knew the importance of preaching what you and I would know as, in the New Testament age, the gospel message, the good news message. He was a called preacher. But on this day, he was not willing to do that. He understood his duty to do the will of God. He knew that he was owned by God. He had given his life to the Lord, and it was his man. I believe his faith in God was without question. He was running from the presence of the Lord, but he knew God was watching him. He was hoping he could get away from God, and that didn't work out for him. And you're here this morning in a gospel preaching church, and I don't know where you are with the Lord, but I'd like to think that the things that Jonah knew, you know. You believe in hearing from God. You understand that it's your duty to do the will of God, and I'd hope that your faith in God is without question. Now it comes down to, what are we going to do with the knowledge of those things? And obviously, Jonah had his own struggles. I want you to know, number one, is you are made on purpose for a purpose. You are made on purpose for a purpose. God, you're not some accident of creation. You are put here by God's design. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." You are here because God chose to put you here. And I'm not talking about where you are this morning for the next hour. I'm talking about your life on planet Earth. You are here because God put you here. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Before you were born, God knew you. Before your life existed, God knew you. Becca, who just sang, is pregnant. What's the baby's name?
Amber.
Ember. E-M-B-E-R. Ember. Like the glow of a flame. Ember. Okay. So we have Sean and Becca. We could go back in their relationship. Becca wanted to do missions work, and so she took off to South Africa. I was not for that. That's not a secret. Most of you know that. Becca knew that. But obviously, as her pastor, not her father, I couldn't hold her back. She was gone. She went over there and she had some issues, but she met Sean, which I didn't know Sean. Then I hear that she's got some guy that she's not dating because dad hasn't approved it yet. Which that was a bunch of baloney. And so, you know, as her pastor, caring about the life of people, but more so caring about Becca, I didn't know if Sean was good enough. All of this story goes on. Before Becca ever met Sean, God knew Ember. And he's raising her for a purpose. Before those two even met, I want you to know, before your mom and dad met, God knew you. That he's created you for a purpose, and you are happening for a reason. And it is our greatest satisfaction in life to fulfill that purpose that God has for us. And the fact of the matter is, when we see things used for the wrong purpose, it's pretty obvious, and we are not getting the full satisfaction out of life. Does that make sense? And so, we've got these little slideshows that my bride put together for me, because you know I'm not capable of this, and we've titled it, "That's Not Right." That's not right. Have you ever heard that saying? That's not right. Well, this is it. So here we go. Tractor tires were made to go on tractors. But somehow someone in their wisdom decided we'd make raised beds out of them. Well, sorry, I'm a tractor guy. That's not what tractor tires are for. Now, I suppose if you want to, you go right ahead. I'm not going to criticize you for it. But a tractor tire can accomplish so much greater things than flowers. If you can use a pencil for drumsticks. Sean, you ever tried this? Or you have. How's it work? Okay, not well, but it can be done. But pencils are made for writing, not for drumsticks. Oh, yes. You know that peanut butter can be used as a hair moisturizer. I didn't know that, but it can be. Let me know. Yeah, Mark says that's not right. But I watched the video of them doing this. It was disgusting. I was sorry that I had wasted any amount of my life that I could not get back watching this video. But anyway, this is what people make money doing these things.
We're going to try to put a ponytail holder on with the vacuum cleaner.
There you go. Now, that's not what a vacuum cleaner is for, and I'd like to know how disgusting her hair is right now, because what has been sucked into my vacuum cleaner I wouldn't want in your hair. Just saying. That's not right.
Whoa! Mermaid off the port bow! Ariel, how you doing, kid?
Whoa, what a swim.
Scuttle, look what we found.
Yeah, we're in the sunken ship, and it was really creepy.
Human stuff, huh? Hey, let me see. Oh, look at this. Wow, this is special. This is very, very unusual.
What? What is it?
It's a dingle hopper. Humans use these little babies to straighten their hair out. See, just a little twirl here and a yank there, and boy, Olay. Yeah, I got an aesthetically pleasing configuration of hair that humans go nuts over.
A dingle hopper.
So that's an illustration of things not used properly. Now, as ridiculous as that is, what we're trying to illustrate is that our life has a certain purpose in God's plan. And as ridiculous as those pictures were, I believe it's just as ridiculous as when you and I are living a life that is not fulfilling God's plan. We are struggling. We don't understand why. And Jonah was a man that had a direct command from God. Jonah, I want you to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. And from that point where he left God's will and went and did what he wanted to do, if as you and I look back at this story, one of the common things that I do as a kid growing up is, Jonah, how could you? What was wrong with you? You had this great opportunity to go and preach the gospel and revival's going to break out and God told you to do it. And as a young boy wanting to be a preacher, I'm looking at this saying, how could you do that? Until I got older and realized that, you know what, it's a common thing to buck what God wants you to do. Isn't that true? And so that's what's happening. In Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read you a verse that I have used many times over the years, and it's a verse that I think of on a regular basis. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 is on page 1260 in your pew Bible. You don't need to go to it, but I'm going to read it to you. Paul is speaking, and we're going to be talking about this tonight in our evening Bible study, because we're going to be talking about not what your New Year's resolutions are. Obviously, those things are good. We'll talk about those as well. But what we really want to know, what I want to know, I'm going to prepare you for right now, and please come back tonight, is what is your lifetime goal? What is it that you want to accomplish? I'm not talking about your New Year's resolution. Those are short-term goals. Why are you here? What are you trying to do in the plan of God for your life? Because in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained. Paul said, I haven't gotten there yet. Either we're already perfect or mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. King James Version, I'll explain to you what he's talking about. Paul is saying, God reached down, grabbed me, and he chose me for a specific purpose. I've got a fork I'll use this afternoon to eat my macaroni and cheese. I chose that for a specific purpose, to put food in my mouth. It works very well. I've done it many times. Greatly enjoy it. Okay? But that fork is for that purpose. You can use it, I suppose, to try to comb your hair, but it's not what it's for. Does that make sense? God reached down, he grabbed Stan Griffin, saved me, created me first, saved me from my sinful condition, not because it was a hobby of his that he likes to do those things so he can set it on a shelf. Like some of you ladies have knickknacks in your home. And they're there, and you get just joy out of looking at them. And there they are. And oh, and then people come by. Oh, I got that one when we were in Brewer. And that one when we were in Bangor. And of course, those are wherever, you know. And you get great satisfaction. And we may picture God up in heaven. There's Stan Griffin. He's sitting there, and I got him from Levant. And there he is. And boy, isn't that great. That isn't why God saves us. Paul said, I want to reach out. He's talking about racing for the mark. And he said, I want to make sure that when I'm pressing for the mark, I am pursuing what God pursued me for. That I am being used for the purpose that he has in mind for me. You following me on that? And so for you and I to have the most satisfaction in life, the greatest purpose in life is for you and I to discover from God's communication with us, and we'll talk about that, just what it is exactly that God wants me to do. Because I'll tell you what, you'll never be satisfied until you're doing that. Not going to happen. So here we are. Your purpose can only be revealed by God himself. Number one, you're created on purpose for a purpose. Number two, your purpose can only be revealed by God himself. God speaks, one, through his word. Jonah heard the voice of God. Jonah 1:1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, Jonah heard the voice of God. I've not heard God's voice. I'll tell you, oh, Pastor, how could that be? But I've got God's word right here. I don't need God's voice. Now, if God wants to speak to me, believe me, I'd listen. But we've got it right here. There's Jonah. He knows one thing in our defense. Believe me, I try to defend myself as often as I can. In our defense, sometimes the will of God is hard to discern. But on the other hand, there's Jonah. He knew exactly what God's will was. Well, you know what? I can tell you, I'm not a swami here this morning, but I can tell you what God's will is for your life in certain areas. Number one, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you are lost and going to hell. And just like the Ninevites, you need to believe the message of the Word of God that without Christ, you have a hopeless life. You've got no chance when you leave here, when you leave this life, when you stop breathing your last breath of life on this side of the sod, if I can be so crass, if you don't know Christ, after that, it's hopeless. That's a fact. That is the word of God based on this book right here. And if you've never prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, forgive my sins, you are lost and you are headed off to a Christless eternity, better known as hell. That's the facts. So, Pastor, that's not very kind. I'm sorry. I truly am sorry. I don't like it. I wish it were different, but that's the way it is. That is the voice of God in the year 2017 based on the Word of God. Now, Jonah heard the voice of God, and Jonah wasn't willing to do it. And if you are here this morning, and you know that you've never trusted Christ, and you're not willing to do it, you're no better than Jonah was, who heard the voice of God, not willing to do it. Millions of Americans have heard that message and are unwilling to do it. Sad but true. We hear God's word. We find out God's plan, number one, through his word. Number two, through his spirit. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, God's spirit lives in you. And the Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit. There's a kin. You've heard the word kindred spirit. Now, I have a kindred spirit with other preachers, with other pastors. Mark and I share a spirit. Scott and I share a spirit. If we know what it's like to work with people and you desire for them to grow in Christ, there's a bond going on there. I have a bond with people that have suffered certain things that I've experienced in my life, and you do too. Some of you ladies that do tatting or macrame or rug hooking or whatever, you have a spirit of when you get together and you talk about sewing and sewing machines and all this stuff, and we men, we want to just run as fast as we can away. But you have a bond, and there's certain things. Well, when it comes to the things of the Lord, if you know the Lord as your Savior and he's in your heart, there are things that go on with you. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that sometimes if you're in tune with the things of the Lord, now sin can separate us from the Lord. That can keep you out of tune. But if your sins are confessed and you have a desire to hear from the Lord and you're in his word, this is a fragile thing. But God can speak to you through his word, through his people, through your circumstances, and you can get a sense of what it is that he wants you to know. Now, would you agree with that? I hope so. Now, if that sense you get is, Pastor, I'm here visiting, I'm not coming back, I don't belong here. For that matter, I've decided that God's told me I'm not going to church anywhere anymore. That's not God's Spirit telling you that. Now, it may be God's Spirit telling you that you don't belong here. I would question that, but I'm not going to say it's wrong, okay? But if you're not here, I want to hear on Sunday, you're in some gospel preaching church somewhere, because that is something the Lord tells us to do. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be getting together more, not less. Churches are canceling services because they can't seem to get the interest. As far as I'm concerned, my Bible teaches that we ought to be scheduling more services, not fewer of them, as we see the return of Christ approaching. So I'm looking for more. Now, having said that, God's Spirit speaks to us. Sometimes it's through some person talking to you, and a light comes on, or sometimes it's through some event in your life, and sometimes, you know what, you come to a bend in the road. Maybe you get fired from a job. Maybe your wife looks at you and says, I don't love you anymore. Sometimes circumstances happen where your life is going to dramatically change. Maybe your wife comes to you and says, there's no money in the checkbook. That can change things. Whatever it is, God has a way of superintending the events of our lives that he's steering us in a certain direction, whether you like it or not. Sometimes it's a doctor's conversation that says you need open heart surgery. I'll tell you what, Wendell wasn't planning on that. But now he's found out God's will in a certain way that he wasn't expecting, and those things happen. Your purpose can only be revealed by God himself, and only you know it. Some folks will come to me as the pastor and say, you know, preacher, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? I can share with you what I think, but I have no idea what God's plan is for your life. And I won't pretend to. But I will tell you, you want to stay in God's will, or you'll never find it. Your purpose can only be revealed by God himself. And God's prepared when you aren't. I like that. God is prepared when you aren't. You go on. So here's the deal. Jonah goes on the ship. They run into a storm. The mariners are afraid. This is what's going on here. Who are you, Jonah? Why are you here? Whence comest thou? Why are you here? Cornerstone, why are you here? Why do you exist? Why do you live? Why are you sucking the air that you are? Are you fulfilling God's plan for your life? And I'm telling you, you ought to have a burning desire to be doing that. Because otherwise, your life is not working, and sometimes it's obvious to others that it's not. Now, we're not sitting back in judgment, but I'll tell you what, your most productive days will be a dead center in the will of God. Whence comest thou, Jonah? Why are you here? And he said unto them, I'm in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? There was some knowledge of God Almighty to these lost sailors. Because when Jonah mentioned the name of God Almighty, they were afraid. Now, I'd like to think, I don't know. I'd like to think that the life that we live, the way that we talk, the prayers that we pray, then when we talk about our God to a lost world, it gets their attention. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea be calm to us? And Jonah said, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. Now, Jonah, you bugged me. He says to these poor sailors, throw me overboard. Hey, Jonah, your leg's broke? Jump overboard. What's your problem? You want to put it all on them, and it's all on you. He said, take me and throw me overboard. Oh, no, we can't do that. These men were honorable individuals. Oh, we can't throw you overboard. That's not right. That's the theme of the message today. That's not right. And so what do? They get to the oars, they start rowing. They're working hard. Ah! Do you ever fight God? How's that go for you? Not well. Here we are, rowing like crazy. Have I embarrassed you yet, Tori? A little shortness of breath there. So, finally they decide, nevertheless, the men rode hard in verse 13. They cried unto the Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish. So they took up Jonah, verse 15. And they cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased her raging. You know, that's amazing. Soon as they throw him overboard, calm. And then, what's that Jaws sound? When the big fish is coming, and they've got some, I should have had that music on. I should have been able to hit a button here and, whatever it is, I'll kill it. So it is, shame on me for even attempting that. But they saw this whale come up. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared. Now the Lord had prepared. Say that with me. Now the Lord had prepared. You know what? Newsflash. Christian, God knows right now at invitation time whether you're going to obey him or not. God knew when he called Jonah, told him to go to Nineveh. You know, that fish didn't grow up. That whale didn't become full size, capable of swallowing a man just from the week before. That fish was there on purpose for a purpose, because God created it. See, in the creation, God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. And I'll tell you what, he has already built the bend in the road for your life if you're not willing to follow him. That would make me nervous. We have a butter paddle at our house. I don't know if you should say this, I guess. We happen to believe in spanking in our house. We do. I know. And social services might be listening to this message. If you are, and you work for the state or whoever, and it's your job to go and inspect homes, I recommend that you know Christ is your personal Savior so you can pray for those homes as you walk into them. Having said that, every now and then we reach for the paddle, and a lot of times we just show it to the kids because it's been prepared ahead of time for their behavior. Now, I want you to know, Christian, that God has prepared ahead of time a blessing or an attention getter. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just telling you how it is. And God wants, you know what? We don't use the paddle nearly as much as we probably should because we don't want to. We love the hugs. We love giving them toys. We love seeing the expression of how, but you know what? Too many hugs and too many toys turns them into brats. Too much love, too much attention from God Almighty turns us into brats. John chapter 15 says this is one of the passages that I had tried to memorize this year. He says, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husband, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And a lot of times, you're wonderful in Christ, but God says, you know what? I'm going to work on you a little bit more, because you can do even better. I just want you to know God wants to bless you, but he has already prepared ahead of time the things that you need to be better than you are. He prepared a whale for Jonah. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And that's where Christians get the term, God will make a way. And I want you to know God is prepared ahead of time for your life. All you need to be doing is praying, Lord, save me. Lord, use me. And what Jonah should have been praying and what you and I need to be praying is, you know what, I can say all the time, Lord, I want to do your will. But sometimes when I truly see God's will, I find out, no, I guess I didn't want to do your will. So maybe what we should be praying with, Lord, save me, Lord, use me, is, Lord, help me to want to want to. Isn't that true? Heavenly Father, the time is gone. We love the story of Jonah. It's entertaining. It's incredible. But there are so many parallels of that Old Testament prophet and us as New Testament Christians that we need you, we want you, but we're not always being used for the purpose that you reached down and grabbed us for. And God, I pray that it would be our desire in 2017 to be the tool that you needed in your arsenal for the Christian church to be that powerful force that you said that we would be. Things can be used for other purposes and it works okay, but the greatest use of your design is to do exactly what you want us to do. And God, I pray it would be our burning desire, number one, to know you as our Savior, and to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins. I pray that everyone in this room has prayed that prayer. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus alone. You said, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Lord, if folks would say those words or something like that, then you would save them. Then, Lord, for most of us, this is our church. We're members here. We come here every Sunday. Are we fulfilling your purpose? Are we doing what you grabbed us for? Lord, I pray we are. And if we're not, I pray we're convicted this morning. And if we don't want to, I pray that we'd pray, Lord, help me to want to. But Lord, we've got another year ahead of us. And we need to be busy serving you because time is short. This could be the year that you come back. Lord, we'll open the altars. We'll give folks a chance to respond. Lord, save me. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to want to. Bless this invitation, please. In Jesus' name, amen.